going to mean much to meet the Lord with peace. Someday we're going to get to the end of the way, and we're certainly going to want to meet Him in peace. And the way we do that is to maintain that peace every day. We have a message from the Lord. It's a wonderful experience when the Lord visits you and He begins to give you scriptures faster than you can write them down. It's really precious. Sometimes we struggle, it seems like, to get the mind of the Lord on things. And other times He seems to come in and flood our souls and gives us more than we can contain, it seems like. Those are precious times. We want to talk this morning with the help of the Lord about going clear through. We're not home yet. That song was talking about when we get to the end of the way. And that's where we're going. We're going that direction, but we're not there yet. We want to make it there with victory. We want to be successful. Well, I want us to realize, and I'm sure that we do, that we have an adversary that doesn't want us to see the end with victory. And more than we realize, he's doing all that he can to hinder us from getting there. Now, you and I may say, I'm doing just pretty good. I'm getting along just fine. And that's dangerous. There's a scripture that says something about, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. There's nothing that the enemy desires any more than to get you and I to a place in our life where we feel just pretty comfortable, and I've got things in control, and I can handle anything that comes along, and I'm going to be all right. I know of a sister that spoke of an experience exactly like this, and she said, when I felt like I was at my strongest, I took a fall. And you know, she has never risen from that fall. She thought she was at her strongest, and the devil had set her up, and she wasn't as strong as she thought, and she took a fall from which she has to this day not arisen. That should bring the fear of God upon each one of our hearts. We're not home yet. Maybe we are weary, and we're looking forward to that, and I'm sure we are, but we're not there yet. And we're going to have something on hand. We're going to have something on hand every day if we see the end with victory. And the Lord is here today, and He's here every day to give us what we need that we can see the end with victory. I want to encourage and exhort each one this morning to go all out for God. That's our little thought. If we're going to be successful, if we're going to see the end with victory, we are going to have to put everything we have into this. I can't counsel you anything less, because the Word of God does not give me space to do that. I see nothing in the Word of God that tells us that we can start out and we can sit back. I don't find that in the Word. And from my experience and from your experience too, I'm sure you're finding that you can't just sit back and expect to glide right on in. We have an adversary, as we said, and he's out to do all he can to hinder us and to slow us down. In the 11th chapter of Acts, the morning church had been established. There had been persecution, and the church had been scattered and sent abroad, and the truth was going out into different places where the Jews were in different countries. And I believe it was in a place in Antioch, and the Gentiles had heard the word. In the 18th verse, it said, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." This truth of the gospel was reaching out and was being made known that it was not a gospel only to the Jews, but it was to the Gentiles as well. And we find that the church sent Barnabas to Antioch to see about this and to minister to those there. In the 23rd verse, starting in the 22nd, "Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad." It makes us glad where we see the grace of God working in the lives of men and women. When you go into a place and they get exposed to the truth and they embrace it, and the grace of God falls upon the hearts of men and women, they begin to get saved and grow in the things of God, it should make the hearts of the saints glad, and it does. And so it was when he went up there and found a people that loved God, people that had been idolaters, had been in the depths of sin, and God had brought his gospel to them, and they had been awakened in their souls, they had embraced this thing, and he had saved them. And the grace of God was working there. And it said he was glad. And here was his message to them. "And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord." With purpose of heart. When we do something on purpose, it's something that we intended to do. It's not something that was just an accident. And I want us to know and to understand, and surely we do, that you're not going to accidentally find yourself inside of God's heaven. It's not going to work that way. It's going to require a purpose of heart, an intention, a strong endeavor on your part or on my part if we hope to see inside of God's heaven. We're not going to slip in there. We're not going to slide or glide in there. We're going to have to purpose in our heart, and we're going to have to maintain that purpose of heart every day. Every day. It has to start every morning when we awaken and we arise from our bed. We're going to have to set out that day with purpose of heart that I am going to live faithful and true to God. And we're going to have something in here to be able to have that purpose and to maintain that purpose. Without that, we will not see the end with victory. We just will not do it. I want us to notice some scripture. I hope you have your Bible with you. I want you to follow through. It'll help me. It'll help you. It'll help the Lord to be able to get this message into our hearts, into our minds, and into our hearts. If we'll follow along in the Word, we want to stay in the Word. This is not my message. This is not my gospel. This is not my truth. This is not me. I want us to see what the Lord has to say out of His Word. That's His exhortation to you and I. That's His instruction to you and I. And it is the Word that's going to take us through. In the beginning was the Word, and at the end will be the Word also. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." And then Jesus also tells us that the words that He speaks, those are the words that are going to judge us in the last day. So the Word is going to be there at the end when we get to the end of the road. So we need to get into God's Word. We need to get familiar with it. He has placed in here all things which pertain to life and to godliness. Everything that will touch and affect our life, there's an answer to it in God's Word. He's made provision for it. Let us go to the Word. Let's get in the Word. Let's know what the Word says. Let's stand on it, have faith in it. It will not fail. It will not fail. It's forever settled in heaven and in earth. So let's get into the Word. Let's build our life on the Word. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about love. There's no stronger power in the world than love. And that is what it's going to take for you and I to have the purpose of heart, to have the determination and the go-through that we're going to have to see the end with victory. It's going to take a love, and it's going to take a special kind of love. We will not be successful simply operating out of fear. Men will jeopardy their lives. Some men will jeopardize their lives at things that you would be afraid to do because it might. But there are some people that will jeopardize their lives. Even they know if they get caught, it will cost them their lives. The devil causes some people to take that chance. It's dangerous to take chances. We have a soul that will never perish and it's going to dwell in eternity, in heaven or hell. Why should we take any chances? Why should we take any chances? Especially when we have no control over keeping ourselves here on this earth. That our life is in God's hands. Let us not jeopardize. Take any chances. Presume upon God's mercy. Well, He surely won't call me now. Let us not allow ourselves to do that. Let us keep ourselves in the love of God. We need the love to give us the strength and the power in our life to have the go-through that we need. I want us to mention a few things, and we're not going to have time to look up all of these scriptures, but I want to mention, thinking about Jonathan in the Old Testament. Jonathan was Saul's son. And Jonathan and David had a special affinity to one another, a special love for one another. And in the 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, and the first verse, we'll just about have to go there. I want us to notice the nature of this love. Now, this was a love of man to man, but notice the nature of it. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan then loved him as his own soul. You know, this was a love, an experience of two that was very close. You know, you and I are going to have that kind of love and relationship with the Lord. If we go through, we're going to have that. When we love has the power to hold you and I. It has the power to cause us to be faithful and true. Husbands and wives that love themselves in this matter, in the manner in which their souls are knit together, they are true to one another. And so you and I must have this relationship developed with God such that our souls are knit to His souls. And that will give us power in our life and determination in our life to be faithful and true to Him. And it's the faithfulness and the trueness to Him and to His Word that's going to see us through. Now, we're going to meet some difficulties along the way in life. We are not going to get out of this life without some problems, without some trouble. And some of us, some have already been through some severe things. And some of us right here, out before us, we don't know it, but I'll assure you, there's some difficult things down the way. And it's going to take this knitting of our heart in love to God and that close of a relationship that's going to require that to hold us to His truth, to His standard, to His requirements. If we don't have that, then we're not going to see the necessity or the importance in it. And we're going to get down the way and we're going to run into something and it's going to throw us off the track and we're going to find ourselves coming up short and we're going to find ourselves not having the victory that we need to have. In 2 Samuel, there's an account given here of David. And remember that David desired a drink from a certain spring at the gate in Bethlehem. And David had some men that were very loyal to him. And they loved him even to the giving of their life, it seemed. And those men heard David say that he desired a drink from this brook. And their love for their commander caused them to break through the host of the Philistines at the peril of their life and go to this spring and get that drink of water and bring it back to David. And it was too holy for David. This had been brought to him at the peril of these men's life. And it was too holy in a sense for him. And he could not drink it. And he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. I want us to notice the love that these men, the respect, the honor, the desire to please that they had And it gave them the strength that they needed to go through the whole host of the Philistines. Well, someday you and I may face the whole host of the Philistines. And we're going to have an honor and a respect and a love unto God such that it will cause us at the peril of our lives. Now listen to what I'm saying. We're going to have to put our lives on the line, saints. We're going to have to put our lives on the line. At the peril of their life, they faced the host of the Philistines, the enemy. And God honored them and preserved them, and they went through and came back with victory. And God will honor that in our lives also. But we're going to have it fixed and determined to go through. Elijah. We're not going to have time. I wish we had time to go and read these accounts from the Scripture. I'll tell you where they're found. I want you to know that they're in the Word of God. They are Scripture and they are verse. Elisha and Elijah's in 2 Kings, the second chapter. I'll tell you the story. God had already put His hand on Elisha to take Elijah the prophet's place. He had told Elisha to anoint him to be the prophet. And so we find Elisha attaching himself to Elijah. And there was a reason why he did that. There was something that Elisha wanted from Elijah. And the only way he could get that was to be in Elijah's presence and to see him when he was taken away. And so there's three occasions there while he was, after he had been called, and Elijah told him, "Stay here. I need to go down to this city." And Elisha said, "No, I'm going with you. I'm not staying here." He wouldn't be put off. So they went to that city. And then Elijah said, "Stay here. I need to go down to Jericho." "No, I will not stay here. I'm going to stay right with you. There's something that I need from you." And then after that, they went. He said, "Stay here. I need to go to this other city." "No, I will not stay." And he stayed right with him and followed him to that city. Notice how tenaciously he held on. He stayed right with. He had a determination that he was going to receive this thing from God that he needed. And you and I need to have that same determination, that same desire, that same go-through that he had. And so when the time came and the sons of the prophets knew and Elisha knew that Elijah was going to be taken up, and he asked of Elisha, Elisha asked him what he wanted, and he said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." A double portion of your spirit. Saints, we need to put in for a double portion. We need a double portion of God's Spirit. It's a good thing to get saved, and it's a necessary thing to get saved, and we must get saved if we go to God's heaven. But we need a second portion also. We need a second dip, if you please. We need a second work of grace wrought in our hearts. We must have it. If we're going to go through, we've got to have. And God has made that available for us. Let's not fail to avail ourselves of everything, every grace, everything that God has made available. Why do you think it would be in there if He didn't think it was necessary? I can't read in God's Word anything that's superfluity. That's superficial, that's not needed or not necessary. God put it in there for a reason. He knew you and I would need that. So let us not be guilty of not availing ourselves of everything. We're going to have it, saints, if we go through. And we want to go through. We all want to go through. The morning church, after the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord came down in power and in demonstration. There was great grace upon them all. I know it was an exciting time. It had to be the moving of God, the Spirit of God had to have been, it must have been awful exciting, awful moving, awful humbling to experience the presence and power of God the way it was. And it charged those people, it moved them till they put their everything into this thing of living for God. They lost sight of their land. They lost sight of their houses. They lost sight of everything but God. And saints, let us ask ourselves, what have we lost sight of? Have we put our all into it to this extent? Have we lost sight of our houses and our land, of the world? Where are our energies going? Where are our energies being directed in our lives right now? Where does most of our thinking turn? Where does most of our time go? How much is God getting? And the morning church suffered persecution and went through things. If they hadn't have had their heart in this thing in the way in which they did, they would not have made it. They would not have made it. Saints, are we selling ourselves short sometime? Are we getting ourselves, our interest, wrapped up in this world too much? The widow's mite. In Mark 12th chapter, maybe we'll go to that. Jesus in the temple observing. I can picture Him there sitting quietly watching people come and go into the temple. And as they came into the temple, they cast their money into the treasury. And there were those that had abundance, and they were faithfully coming and bringing their offering and their requirement. Are we as those who only want to just meet the requirement? I just want to squeak up to the standard, barely. The 41st verse of the 12th chapter of Mark. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, here was some that were well able. They had abundance, and they were able to put in a considerable amount in comparison to the two mites that this widow woman put in. But that's a relative thing. If you're a millionaire, $1,000 is not going to hurt you a whole lot. But if you're a widow and you're on a fixed income, a low income, and you just go in and empty your purse, give all to your want, or other words, to your hurt or to your need. If I give this, I'm going to be doing without. And that's what this little widow woman did. She gave until she had no more to give. And notice how Jesus looked on this. How is He looking on you and I this morning? Now, I'm not relating this to money and telling you to start putting more money in the box. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about putting you in the box and me in the box. This woman gave all that she had, her living. And God is looking to you and me as His children to give all to our want. Or to our need. To give all until we have no more to give. That's what God is looking for. And when we back up and draw back from that, and there's a natural tendency to do that, you know, we can find ourselves falling way short when we get into the trial or to the test. And it's because, as she did, we have not done. We did not put our all into this thing, even though it hurt. May the Lord help us. Epaphroditus. Do you know who Epaphroditus was? In Philippians, 2nd chapter. Epaphroditus was one that ministered and labored with the Apostle Paul. And this was a brother that had his all into the work of God. He was a brother that was sick. In 26th verse, "For he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." Notice this brother. His heart and his mind was so much into the work of God that there was nothing, even to the expending of all of his strength, till he was sick unto death, doing service unto God, doing what he can. This brother's heart was in the work of God. His mind was made up to follow God and to do all he could to promote and help the work of God. Where are we? How do I measure to that? Am I working myself sick unto death to do all I can to further the kingdom of heaven? God is looking for those that will. I believe he will. Why was this put in here? Why do we have record of this? Is it filler? In the printing of newspapers and different things, sometimes you don't have enough material to fill out the column. The story doesn't go to the end of the page. So we just put filler in there. We just find something that sounds good and we fill up that extra few lines to take up the space. I don't believe God put any fillers in His Word. I don't believe there's a wasted word in here or a wasted thought, not a wasted parable. These things are put in here for our learning, for our encouragement, and to exhort us in the things that God would have us to bring into our lives. Esther. What do we remember about Queen Esther? Here was a young Jewess that had been brought right into the courts of the king. And we know that Haman, we know about Haman and Mordecai. Haman was determined. He was a proud man, lifted up. He didn't like it because this Jew Mordecai did not pay obeisance and respect to him that he felt like he should have. So he determined that he would destroy him. And in order to do that, he would destroy all the Jewish people. Do you know that the devil is set to destroy you and me? He's set to destroy you and I. And God is setting people, those that He can trust and those that He can use and those that have been faithful and that He knows will be faithful, in places to bring deliverance and help to you and I. And so it was with this Jewess, Esther. And the decree came that all the Jews were going to be destroyed, and Mordecai knew that even though Esther was a queen in the court of the king, she would not be exempt, and that she would lose her life also. Sometimes God places humble people of God in high places for mercy to His people. Are we living in such a place that God could reach down and take you and I and put you and I in that place? And so we know the story. The queen said, "Send out a decree and have everybody fast for 3 days for me, because I need to go before the king and plead." And the circumstances were such that in the king's court, you didn't go before the king unless he called for you. And if you did go unannounced, the only way you could be accepted is if he put forth his scepter and acknowledged you. If he did not do that, you were taken out and destroyed, slain. And this is what Queen Esther was facing. And she said, "You go fast. Saints, we're going to have to fast. If we're going to have the go-through that we need in our lives, we're going to have to lay aside some things in our lives. We're going to have to take some time. And we're going to have to fast and do without There are some things in life that will never move out of the way until we get serious enough that we're willing to lay aside our food and fast and pray and seek God. That moves the heart of God. That moved the heart of God in this situation. And beyond that, we're going to have the determination and have this thing fixed and settled to the extent that Queen Esther has. In the 16th verse of the 4th chapter, it came down to the moment, and she said, here's what she said, and can you and I say this also? And we're going to have to, saints. We're going to have to get to the place in our walk and experience with the Lord that we're able to say, as Queen Esther did, if I perish, I perish. She had it fixed. She had it determined. I've got to do this. There's some things in life and living for the Lord that you and I are going to have to do, even at the risk of our lives. There have been a number, even in this congregation, that have come to places in their lives physically that they had to make a choice. I'm going to trust God. I'll die trusting God before I'll turn to man. And I've seen it happen. But when they made that decision, when they came to that place, and we can all find ourselves there someday perhaps, but that decision has got to be made. And when they made that decision, I'll die before I turn to man, before I fail the Lord, we've seen God come in and bring deliverance. And Queen Esther said, if I perish, I perish. God help us to have a go-through, an experience, and a walk with Him such that we can say from the heart, with purpose of heart, if I perish, I perish. It's going to mean a lot. It's going to be a lot. Why do I say that? Why do you say that? Why do you think that's necessary? Have you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? You need to get it down and read it. It's not entertaining reading. But God's people have gone through some things in life. And you and I cannot sit here on easy street and think we're going to slide right on in when it required the spilling of blood of a lot of God's people for them to win their crown. They didn't go down to Egypt for help. Apostle Paul, he had been led of the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. This was a command of the Lord. He was to go to Jerusalem. And as he was going to Jerusalem, he stopped in various places along the way. In Acts, the 21st chapter, there were some men there in the places that he went to that God had given them a revelation that they knew that Paul was headed for some problems, some real severe trouble. And their heart being knit with his in love, as your heart and my heart are knit to one another in love, they had a grave concern for their brother. He was going to Jerusalem, and the revelation to some of them was that he was going to be bound and his life was going to be in jeopardy and in peril. And they tried to dissuade him from following the commandment of the Lord. Pretty serious, isn't it? And do you know, brothers and sisters, that sometimes you and I can be a hindrance to one another, trusting God and going all the way? We need to be careful. We need to be very careful that we don't do anything to hinder one another's faith and determination to be in that place that says, if I perish, I perish. God is the only one that has a heaven to take us to. I don't have a heaven to take you to. You don't have one to take me to. And I don't want to throw any stumbling block in your way that would hinder you. Only do what I can to encourage you to be faithful and true. We gain the whole world, the confidence, the praise of men, everything, and we miss heaven. We've had our reward. The praise, the honor, the respect. That's our reward. But we've missed heaven. And here's the way the Apostle Paul responded to that. In the 12th verse of the 21st chapter, and when they heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go up there. It may cost you your life. And Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." I believe the Apostle Paul had it fixed. It was all his mind was made up. Yes, I may suffer some things. Yes, I may be persecuted. Yes, it's going to hurt. But I want to be faithful to God. And I want to see inside of God's heaven. I want to be there at His feet, at His throne. And he said, "I'm not only willing to suffer, I am ready to die." How do you suppose he got to that place? Lord, help us to get to that place. To get to that place. We're not home yet. We don't know what we're going to face in life. But we need from God the same thing that those brethren needed that carried them through with victory. And they faced the lions. They went to the stake. What is our stake? What are our lions? We're going to have something from the Lord to go through. And we're going to have the resolve that Barnabas went and talked to them about. That we would cleave to the whole, to the Lord. That we'd hold tenaciously to Him. That we'd allow nothing to separate us. Elisha wouldn't allow anything to separate him from Elijah. He clung to him. And as a result of that, he received that double portion. The mantle fell upon him. And when he came back to the river, he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" You know where the God of Elijah was? He was right there. He was right there. And that water parted and he went right on across. We need the mantle too. And we need the God of Elijah. And all of those faithful brethren, all back through the Old Testament. In Revelation, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And it said they loved not their lives unto the death. They were willing, and many of them, history records it, many, 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 they didn't love their life ahead of God, and they were willing to put their head on the chopping block, literally, for their testimony of salvation and faithfulness to God. And God swept them right on into the portals of glory. And we want to see each one of us here this morning swept right into the presence of Almighty God. But we're going to have something on hands to do that. And right now is the time to get it on hand. Let's not wait till tomorrow or the next day or the next day when the storm comes and I'm not prepared. Brother Hargraves preached a message one time, and it was to this extent: you cannot build in the storm. He was from Florida where they have hurricanes. And when those hurricane winds start blowing, it's too late to get out and board up the windows. You get a 100-mile-an-hour gale of wind blowing and you're trying to carry a 4x8 sheet of plywood, you're going on a trip. That's not a time to be building. Now is the time to be building. God is doing all He can to stir you and I up that we get down to business every day. We're going to have purpose of heart. We're going to have to get our all into this thing, or we're going to get swept away in the storm, make shipwreck. We don't want to do that. We don't want to see anyone fail of the grace of God or come short. When God has given heaven's best and has provided for us all things pertaining to life and godliness, He didn't leave nothing out of His plan. Not a thing. It's all in there. Let us diligently apply ourselves to this. Seek after God with our whole heart. How are we to love Him? Let's go back to the thought of love. The power of love. The Scripture tells us in the Old Testament through to the New Testament how to love God. What to do. He said to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. That's our whole being, everything. We're going to have to put ourselves. That's God's standard. I didn't put it in there. You didn't put it in there. Man didn't put it in there. It was put in there by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's the words of God that we must love Him. We're going to have that kind of love. How's our love this morning? What are we letting our hearts go out towards? Where are our interests? Do we have scales on our eyes? They love not their lives unto the death. We can multiply examples. I think about the three Hebrew children. How did they respond when they got into the fiery test? When they came up to that place where they were going to have to make a decision, serve God or bow, did they hem-haw around about it? Did they duck their head and kind of cow down? We don't find that, do we? They said, "We are not careful to answer thee, O King." Do you think they got the courage and the strength to do that in that moment? They had something on hand when they came up to that time and that moment. We need to get something on hand, saints. We're going to have something on hand every day. That when we face the fiery furnace, we can say, "We're not careful to answer the old devil. We're going to be true to God." And God brought them out with victory, sweeping victory. And notice what happened because of their faithfulness. "Let us not a one of us let down the standard and bring reproach upon the cause of God and hinder my brother and sister, because I wasn't willing to put my all in this thing and apply myself to it and avail myself of everything that God has made possible." They stood true, and as a result of that, that whole nation had to recognize that the God of heaven was the only true God and that He would deliver. There's a great responsibility that falls upon you and I, and we need to be applying ourselves, that we have on hand what it takes to go through these trials and tests, that we not disappoint God, that we not fail Him, that we not disappoint the saints or bring a reproach upon His cause and upon His people. We're in a very responsible place. In Isaiah, the 50th chapter and the 7th verse, it says something about having your face set like a flint. Flint is a hard, hard substance, very hard. We're going to have this thing hard, fast, fixed, and get our face set, our determination fixed and set in God, that nothing is going to swerve me to the right or to the left. It's going to require that for you and I to go through. Job found himself in a difficult circumstance, very difficult. His wife forsook him, as it were. His friends sat down for 7 days and didn't speak a word of comfort to him. And then they began to accuse him. And Job said, "He knoweth the way that I take." And he goes on down in there and he said, "I have esteemed His word more than my necessary food." That's what was holding him, God's word, His faithfulness to that word. That's what's going to strengthen us and comfort us and help us, His promises. The testimonies of those that have stood faithful and true through the ages, we're going to have to draw from that, just as Job drew from that. And we can do that, and we must do that. But he found comfort and help in God's Word because He made it more important in his life than those things that pertain to man and to the flesh, more than his necessary food. There's a lot of work for us to do, and there's forces of the enemy out there to discourage and to distract us. Think about Nehemiah when he went back to build the walls of Jerusalem. The devil was there. Sanballat was there. He didn't like it. He was very wroth, very angry. Set about to do what he could to roar as a lion and to frighten them off and to discourage them from the work. And what did they do? They girded on their armor and they set themselves right to the work in spite of that and went right on living for God. You and I are going to have to do the same thing. The enemy comes through here like a lion roaring out his threats, and we can cow down and be frightened and lose the victory. But we need to gird the armor on, as it tells us in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. It's fixed. It's decided. It's settled. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. I'm going through. We're going to have something from God to be able to do that. And God has for us what we need to be able to do that. Saints, let's be faithful. Let's put on the whole armor. Let's put on God's Word. Let's get into it. Let's get our heart, every fiber of our being, wrapped up in this thing. We're going to have it to go through. There are hindrances along the way, and we have an adversary. We have a song we sing that says, "My God is real." And there's another song that says, "Preacher, tell them Satan's real too. Satan's real too, and he'll do all he can to hinder you and to draw you back and to steal from you that crown of life." We don't want to allow that to happen. A double-minded man. You know it's hard to serve God when your mind is taken up with the world. Another scripture tells us you cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot be divided in our love. We cannot be divided in this thing about serving God. This is not a Sunday thing. This is not a Wednesday night thing. It's an everyday, every moment thing. And we must have the same determination every moment. We're going to have it, saints, if we're going to go through. There was the Apostle Peter. He followed afar off, the Scripture tells us. And we know that because he was following, Jesus told him before that took place, he says, "Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat." The devil wants to sift every one of us. He would like to sift us right out of this thing, right into his kingdom. And he'll do it very subtly if we're not careful, if we're not watchful. Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you." And we see Peter, after he realized what he had done, how he had miserably failed God, he went out and he wept bitterly and found his way back to God. If you ever get in that place, and God forbid that it should happen, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Come back to God. Repent as Peter did. Get yourself restored. And then put in for everything God has for you, that you might have the determination and the power in your life to stand and be faithful and true. There were some that heard Jesus and said, "That's a hard saying. Who can hear it?" We're going to have to receive. We're going to have to take everything. We cannot pick and choose out of God's Word the part that we like and that we'll adhere to and the part that we're not too comfortable with. And I hope so-and-so doesn't preach, because when they preach, it seems like the Lord gets around here pretty close and I don't feel too comfortable. Some people can have needs in their lives, and we can come in here and sit down and hope in our minds and our hearts, "I hope they don't preach on such and such a subject." Why? Because that gets too close to me and I'm not there, and I've not been willing to come there. Saints, God's doing all He can to help us. Let us not push away the instrument or the hand that God is trying to use to help us to be able to stand, that we can see the end with victory. It's going to mean a lot. It's going to mean more than our minds can begin to take in. To be able to stand in the presence of God without condemnation and to dwell with Him through all eternity. Apostle Paul spoke of Demas, one that had worked and labored with him. Look around you. Choose someone. And then think about them departing. He said he had, having loved this present world. This world is drawing away too many people, and they're losing their souls. Saints, we don't have a one to lose. We don't have a one to lose. I don't know anybody in here that I wouldn't weep over them, knowing they'd went out without God. But the enemy is doing all he can to draw you and I away, little by little, just little things, little here, little there. Little foxes spoil the vine, the Scripture tells us. What is the meaning of that? The foxes come into the grape arbor. The grapes are hanging there. A full-grown fox at head level can eat the grapes. But the little kit fox that's down here, he can't reach them without climbing up. And climbing up, he tears up the vines. He spoils the vine. It's those little things that can come along in our lives that can cause us not to have the power and the victory in our life when the storm comes along. We need to get rid of those things, however trivial they may seem. And sometimes we hear people say, "Oh, God don't care about that." Why is it in His Word if He doesn't care about it? How can I be so careless or so indifferent when my soul is at stake and God is the only one that can help me get my soul in favor with Him. This is more serious than we can begin to make it sound. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we call this the faith chapter. And it gives us a whole catalog, a whole history of God's dealing with men down through the ages of time, and how through faith, faith in Him, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought all kinds of things. Through faith, subdued kingdoms, 11th chapter, 33, verse 33, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the sword, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of armies to the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. This is talking about real people, saints. This is not a story that is told. You can put a name and a face on every one of these things that he's talking about in a general sense. And if we had time, and I have them written down, I could go by and give you an example right out of the Scripture of just about every one of these things that's mentioned right here today. These were real people that had faith in God, that were true, they had the go-through they needed. And God was faithful to them. And He brought them through with victory. Now you and I are in the same world. This is the same world they were in. It's another time, it's another age. Those people were in another time and another age. But God, all through those times and ages and different places in the world, He was a God to them. He was true to His Word and to His promise. And He brought them through with victory. And they are going to be standing there. They're standing there now. In the 12th chapter says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That's the ones that he's talking about here. They're going to stand there on the judgment day. And we're going to be speechless if we're trying to find an excuse to get in and we've not been faithful. God has everything we need. Just as He had what they needed for them to be true and faithful in the face of those terrible, difficult circumstances where they loved not their lives unto the death, they're going to be standing there. How are you and I going to be able to look them in the eye or in the face with a puny excuse? It's not going to work. We're going to have the same go-through, the same determination. We're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to be serious about living for God every day. We're going to have to flee the world, the lust of the flesh, and those things, or we will not have what we need, and we will not be able to stand. The Scripture goes on to say, and laying aside every weight. Do we have any weights on us this morning? Do we have weights, things hanging on to our lives, things that we're hanging on to, that's going to hinder our faith and are keeping us from being as faithful and as true as we need to be? And then he goes on and said, and the sin which doth so easily beset you. We need to be sanctified. There's a foe in the temple, not subject to man. That's a weight that's going to hinder you and hinder you. And God has provided through the blood to cleanse that out of our life. And one brother said, after he was sanctified, he said, "I had more want to and less have to." And I've noticed this, that when people get saved and they don't go on and get sanctified, they have a frame of mind, well, I have to do this to stay saved, and I have to do that to stay saved, and I have to do the other to stay saved. But when the Spirit of the Holy Ghost comes in and cleanses that temple, you see a love and an eagerness and a want to in the things of God. We need that. We're going to have that to go clear through. God help us to put in for everything that He has for us. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, 11th verse. Behold, I come quickly. Jesus is coming back. And He said, behold, I come quickly. Life is so short. For some it's shorter than it is for others. But at its longest, He's coming back quickly. And we'll be snatched away. Life is going to escape us. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. If God has saved you, hold fast. Hold fast tooth and toenail. Be like a dog with a bone. Don't allow the enemy to come and take it away from you. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of anything. But hold on to that tooth and toenail. We need to get our eyes single to the glory of God. We need to do as He told Joshua there in the first chapter. Be strong and of a good courage. And He told him not to look to the right hand or to the left. God's Word is right here. And if we go to looking off to the right or to the left, we're going to find ourselves led right off the Word. And it is the Word that we answer to in that day. So saints, let's be faithful to God. Let's be true. Let's have the determination and the go-through that we need. And if we don't have that this morning, God has everything we need to give us. That go-through, that determination, it's going to mean much to go to heaven. And we don't want any of us to miss it. So let's be faithful and true to the Lord. Amen.